Laura heard a stove lid rattle. For one instant, she was in bed with Mary, and Pa was building the morning fire. Then she saw the calico curtain, and she knew where she was, and that today she must begin to teach school. She heard Mr. Brewster take down the milk pail, and the door slammed behind him. On the other side of the curtain, Mrs. Brewster got out of bed. Johnny whimpered and was still. Laura did not move. She felt that if she lay still enough, she might keep the day from coming. Mr. Brewster came in with the milk, and she heard him say, "I'm going to start a fire in the schoolhouse. I'll be back by the time breakfast's ready." The door slammed behind him again. All at once, Laura threw back the covers. The air was biting cold. Her teeth chattered and her fingers were so stiff that she could not button her shoes. The kitchen was not so cold. Mrs. Brewster had broken the ice in the water pail and was filling the tea kettle, and she replied pleasantly to Laura's good morning. Laura filled the wash basin and washed her hands and face at the bench by the door. The icy water made her cheeks tingle, and her whole face was rosy and glowing in the looking glass above the bench while she combed her hair before it. Slices of salt pork were frying, and Mrs. Brewster was slicing cold, boiled potatoes into another frying pan on the stove. Johnny fussed in the bedroom, and Laura quickly pinned her braids, tied on her apron, and said, "Let me fix the potatoes while you dress him." So while Mrs. Brewster brought Johnny to the stove and made him ready for breakfast, Laura finished slicing the potatoes and salted and peppered and covered them. Then she turned the slices of meat and set the table neatly. "I'm glad Ma told me to bring this big apron," she said. "I like a real big apron that covers your whole dress, don't you?" Mrs. Brewster did not answer. The stove was red now and the whole room was warm, but it seemed bleak. Nothing but short, necessary words were said at the breakfast table. It was a relief to Laura to put on her wraps, take her books and her tin dinner pail, and leave that house. She set out on the half-mile walk through the snow to the schoolhouse. The way was unbroken except for Mr. Brewster's footsteps, which were so far apart that Laura could not walk in them. As she floundered on, plunging into the deep snow, she suddenly laughed aloud. "Well," she thought, "here I am. I dread to go on, and I would not go back. Teaching school cannot possibly be as bad as staying in that house with Mrs. Brewster. Anyway, it cannot be worse." Then she was so frightened that she said aloud, "I've got to go on." Black, soft, coal smoke rose against the morning sky from the old claim shanty stovepipe. Two more lines of footprints came to its door, and Laura heard voices inside it. For a moment, she gathered her courage, then she opened the door and went in. The board walls were not battened. Streaks of sunshine streamed through the cracks upon a row of six homemade seats and desks that marched down the middle of the room. Beyond them, on the studding of the opposite wall, a square of boards had been nailed and painted black to make a blackboard. In front of the seats stood a big heating stove. Its round sides and top were cherry red from the heat of the fire, and standing around it were the scholars that Laura must teach. They all looked at Laura. There were five of them, and two boys and one girl were taller than she was. "Good morning," she managed to say. They all answered, still looking at her. A small window by the door let in a block of sunshine. Beyond it, in the corner by the stove, stood a small table and a chair. "That is the teacher's table," Laura thought, and then, "Oh my, I am the teacher." Her steps sounded loud. All the eyes followed her. She put her books and dinner pail on the table and took off her coat and hood. She hung them on a nail in the wall by the chair. On the table was a small clock. Its hand stood at 9:05. Somehow she had to get through 5 minutes before the time to begin school. Slowly, she took off her mittens and put them in the pocket of her coat. Then she faced all the eyes and stepped to the stove. She held her hands to it as if to warm them. All the pupils made way for her, still looking at her. She must say something. She must.